and welcome to Climate Queens. This is a podcast to raise awareness about the effect that we as humans are having on our shared planet and what we can do about it. We'll be covering everything from what even is global warming, fast fashion, the minefield that is recycling, and everything in between.
We are no experts. We are just two Dublin gals who met volunteering and have been best pals ever since. So who are we? Katie is obsessed with the outdoors, with a background in food marketing, but her ultimate passion is to save the world one step at a time with a cup of tea in hand.
You know me so well. And Clodagh is a plant-loving, social entrepreneur, climate activist, who is a big fan of hot beverages also, and sea swimming. So join us on the last Friday of every month to channel your inner climate queen. And don't forget your cup of tea.
Or coffee.
Welcome back to season two. We are so excited to be back, and thank you to everyone who has been messaging us over the last couple of months. We really, really appreciate it. For those keeping in touch, we have been listening to your feedback, and that is why for our first episode back for 2020, we are focused all on plant-based eats and veganism. For more information, we recommend watching the Game Changers documentary for those who are interested in the health benefits of a vegan diet, and also Cowspiracy. But keep in mind that our top tip is always to do your own research. Be sure to check out an initiative called Carbon Neutral Lent. This was set up by a guy in my course called Dara, and it's an excellent resource for calculating your carbon footprint, including your meat consumption. For our research, we invited a guest who is very well versed in the vegan movement. We can't wait for you to hear from Evelyn from the Veg Huns.
So our message for this episode really is just to go gentle on yourself when it comes to dietary choices, and even if you're just trying to reduce your meat consumption by one meal a week, like Meatless Mondays, for example, it really does make a difference, as taking meat off your plate can cut your carbon footprint in half, and if you go full vegan, it will have an even greater environmental impact. Also, PS, PS, if you're a cheese lover like us, then check out the Veg Huns post on Instagram with all the best vegan cheese alternatives for your taste buds. Just to note that for this episode, we didn't want to delve into the hard facts that surround animal suffering. So if you're really keen to learn more around these shocking and horrifying statistics, we have a bonus 5-minute episode all about animal cruelty with yours truly, Evelyn. But for now, let's get into episode one.
Woo! Welcome! Woo! We are here in Reusey in Fox Rock.
And woohoo!
You are about to listen to episode one of season two. Woo!
Yay!
So myself and Katie are here today in Reusey in Fox Rock, and we are recording our first episode, and we just would love to say a big thanks to Pat for hosting us today.
We love you, Pat.
We love you, Pat.
As always. I think we say that in every episode.
We do. I mean, number one fans here. Absolutely. But we are here to talk to you about all things plant-based. So whether that is veganism, vegetarian, pescatarian, flexitarian, and
so many Aryans.
All of these isms, exactly. But and the effect that these food choices are having on our environment. So we would like just to start by saying that this is a judgment-free zone. So we will try to avoid labels, as we really think it's great if you're just trying to eat, you know, one less meal without meat a week, or if you are, you don't eat meat but you still eat cheese, or if you just eat plant-based for purely for health reasons. We are not here to tell you what to do. This is a safe space. So we are just asking some questions, and we think what you would like to know and get some facts around our food impacts. So we invited a special guest.
Ooh.
Are you ready? So we are here today with Evelyn from the Veg Huns.
Hi, Evelyn.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Katie. Evelyn. Hi, Pat.
We're so excited to have you here. So Evelyn, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do with the Veg Huns?
So my name is Evelyn and I am a long-term vegetarian, then vegan, and I am an animal rights activist, an environmentalist, a feminist.
All the ists.
And myself and my two best friends were three vegans, and one of them, Kate, was saying, well, some people wonder, what do we even eat? Do we just eat grass? And she decided to set up an Instagram account, and it has been growing since. So it started about food. Then we were able to also mention the reasons of animals and climate action. And now it's a bit of everything.
Amazing. And for people who are just beginning and haven't a clue what veganism is, can you give us kind of the dummy's guide to what is veganism?
No pressure.
Definitely. So the basic view of veganism is that a vegan is someone who does not eat or use animal products.
I thought you were going to say does not eat. I was like, I think
you live on air.
Yeah.
No, we eat a
I was like,
lot.
Please continue that sentence.
We eat like pizza five times a week.
Oh, wow. But
I'm not recommending that.
Yeah.
I did write down the vegan society definition of veganism because I do feel like it encompasses a lot more than I say at a whim. So it says, veganism is a way of living which seeks to exclude, as far as is possible and practicable, all forms of exploitation of and cruelty to animals for food, clothing, and other purposes. But I thought a really interesting note as well, because I'm really interested. I work in a museum and I love the history of veganism and the history of environmentalism and ecofeminism. So in 1964, one of the first ever writers of a vegan cookbook named Eva Batt said that veganism is defined as a way of living which avoids exploitation, whether it be of our fellow men, the animal population, or the soil. Which I think is really interesting to hear someone concerned about the soil in 1964, that in terms of how our diet affects the planet, they're way ahead of the game, these vegans.
Absolutely.
Everything is connected, right? So mm-hmm. that's... Okay, so we're 2020. And before we get into the nitty-gritty of environmental impact of our food choices, which we can't wait to hear about, there are a couple of things we'd love to get your thoughts on in relation to the vegan movement in general.
Yeah, so we have just come off the back of Veganuary. We just would love to get your opinion on Veganuary because, you know, it's a movement that started, I was just reading on their website last week in 2014. And this year alone, they've seen over 400,000 people sign up, which is amazing. And they say that they, you know, they expect about 10 times that have actually, you know, gone vegan for January. But yeah, so what are your thoughts on these kind of movements? And what do you think is the reason for the meteoric rise of a movement like Veganuary?
I would say that Veganuary and the rise of the vegan movement, which at the moment is just tumbling and escalating, is this counter-revolution to us knowing the effects of the Industrial Revolution of 200 years ago, that at first it seemed absolutely fabulous, and in many ways it is, and we can utilize so many amazing tools, but also it's heating up the planet, and that is not working out well, and it is destroying millions of animals a day, and it is destroying people's lives and other species' lives. So now that we have that information at our fingertips, again, thanks to the Industrial Revolution, we now want to act in a way that we can learn from this, but completely change it. So I think that's Veganuary, is people completely questioning every tradition they've grown up with and everything that they thought was perfect because it was making money.
And do you think, where do you think the motivation lies for most people? Do you think it's to do with animal rights, or do you think it's more so to do with the environment?
Interestingly, there's been a few studies on why people are reducing their meat or dairy intake, and the majority still say health. And that's a weird one for me because I'm completely in it for animal rights and environmentalism and human rights as well. Health, for me personally, it comes last, but for the majority, it seems to come first. And definitely into the 21st century, we're discovering more and more that not only can you live without animal products, but you can live longer without animal products.
It's interesting. And then something that we checked last week was the kind of trends on Google search. And we noticed that in terms of searching for plant-based, there was a huge spike in November. And that coincided with the release of the Game Changers documentary, which I think has been quite divisive for people, especially in terms of just claims that were made. And another thing that we just want to ask is, you know, are these documentaries like Cowspiracy, like Game Changers, are they good for the vegan movement, or they just kind of give an excuse for people to poke holes in, you know, the facts and the figures and that kind of thing?
My quick answer would say I think they are good for the vegan movement simply because they put that word out there. Mm. I gave up meat in 2001 and it just wasn't well known. And to hear it being spoken of in mainstream documentaries coming out on Netflix, it's great. Now, that said, disclaimer, I haven't watched any of those documentaries. The documentaries make me cry. Mm-hmm. And I realise Game Changers is unlikely to make me cry.
Well, you never know. There's a lot of muscles.
Too much muscles.
Maybe.
But I am aware of the hype around it. And I think it's great just to see people researching. Even though if they're researching and saying, this part is wrong, this part is wrong.
They're talking about it.
They're talking about it. And one thing that I think is so important is that you tell people to do their own research. There's so much information available to us now that I don't need to tell someone, here, only believe me and only listen to me and only listen to this documentary. I'm like, no, go read the facts and figures and the current data.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of your own journey, so you said, what was it, 2001?
2001, I gave up meat, and it wasn't for ages later until 2013 that I gave up dairy and eggs.
Okay, and what has been your journey in that? Like, what brought you to that point?
I have questioned this a few times, and definitely in 2001, I was 11 years old. I was ignorant to many, many, many issues, but it was the same year that my first pet rabbit died, and that broke me into a thousand pieces. Floppy.
Of course, it was called Floppy.
Floppy the rabbit. Rest in peace.
Yeah, she was my absolute, like, pride and joy and best friend. Oh, and Floppy. I still find it weird to this day that I was meant to grieve over Floppy and I was meant to chop up the pig that was on my plate. Mm. And it didn't matter that the pig was more intelligent. It didn't matter that the pig cared about their family. It didn't matter about any of that. I was just meant to do this because I was being told. So I didn't want to do it anymore. And I gave up meat. And my parents were not happy with it. But now they're both vegetarian and vegan.
So. Are they really?
Yeah, pretty much the whole family. They dropped off like flies. Pardon the animal abuse the animal dying term.
We love a pun.
But my dad went vegetarian when he just tried it once. Like, he just tried it and he was like, this is great. He was just shocked. He was like, you're grand. It's damaging the planet less deforestation, less animals dead. Why not do this? And I was like, I've been telling you this for 10 years.
Yeah.
And then my mother went vegan. She actually took the full plunge for vegan for Veganuary because she'd been vegetarian and now has gone vegan. And my brother went vegan when he started studying botany. And he had been very reluctant. He'd been making fun of me my whole life for being this hippie tree-hugging vegan. And then he told me in the car one day, he was like, here, I don't want you to say anything, but I found out about what's causing climate change and I've decided to go vegan. And I was delighted that my sister was vegetarian just because she wants to be cool.
Oh my God. So by the sounds of it, everyone was on their own journey. Like, you didn't necessarily force information at them, or did you?
I would say that we kind of live by example. I definitely didn't push anything towards them, but we are a family that debate. Healthy debates. Yeah. My partner very much sees them as heated arguments, but
you're like, welcome to the family.
I think they're healthy debates. Like, I don't think we've ever had a Christmas dinner where we don't debate the power of the Catholic Church.
I want to come to Christmas dinner.
It's a fully vegan Christmas dinner now. It's great.
Oh my gosh, I feel like we need to talk about that.
We do.
Yeah.
But talking about if you're a debating family, we'd love to know, like, what is the main bone of contention for people who seem kind of against this choice? Like, how do you go about answering it when someone says, but why are you vegan?
Well, my experience with people who argue the most in my experience, they're the ones who come back to you a year later and they've gone vegan. Mm. That's happened to me so many times. They're interested. They're arguing it because I feel like they're arguing with themselves. A lot of people go straight to health because they've never heard of someone not eating animal products. So they say, oh, you'll die young. And I tell them to look up the HSE website or look up the World Health Organization, and they're done. And they tell you, oh, we need this for evolution. So I tell them to read the theory of evolution, and then that just proves it.
And then come back to me.
Yeah. And then they say it's for tradition. And then I point out several horrifying things that were a tradition at one stage. And then they say, no, but we're more intelligent than them. And then I tell them when we've judged people based on intelligence and taking away their lives. And then it's only when someone doesn't care at all, which is quite rare, that I've got nothing to argue with. It's when someone says, I don't care that people are dying and that animals are dying.
Like, it's a lost cause, really, isn't it?
Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people don't care. I think most people care. And if they're debating, they're thinking about it. And very often they go home and they look it up. And I love that. Mm-hmm.
And do you think the kind of vegan movement is here to stay? Because, you know, some people might say it or might put it into the bucket of it's a bit of a diet fad, that kind of thing. What do you have to say to that?
I find people are getting more and more respectful, which is great. Still, you do get someone telling you that's a fad diet and you're going to be eating meat tomorrow, even if I tell them I've been on it for a good 7 years or so.
Yeah.
But the immediate debate is that veganism is not a diet. By any definition that I mentioned there, veganism is about avoiding the use of animals, whether that be for food or for clothing or for other products. So it's not a diet. There is a plant-based diet where you avoid meat and dairy for other reasons, but veganism is about avoiding using animals, whether that's in your food or otherwise.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, like, why do you think we eat meat? Like, do you think it's down to tradition or our culture? Like, why is it still so normal if we are harming animals?
That's such a good question that I have no idea. Why are we still eating meat? In researching the history of the rise of meat as an everyday meal, it was once an elite thing that you have the opportunity to eat something that's been fed for the last 6 months on other cheaper crops, as opposed to being the poorer people who are eating the cheaper crops directly. I suppose with that, we just take on the luxuries and we keep going with them in the same way that we've completely switched to cars because we've got used to this luxury, and we switched to meat because we're used to that luxury. But I think we really need to question all these things and how they're impacting other people's lives.
Yeah, so it's just our normal. That's what we're kind of conditioned into. And I guess myself and Katie were we couldn't answer that question either. No. We were like, what? But it might have something to do with the cognitive dissonance. So, like, you know, even though you know the information, you might have watched some of the documentaries or heard things, we're still not adapting our actions to suit.
So, I'm sure a lot of our listeners will either be on their own mission to get family and friends to try a vegan diet, or at the very least, eat less meat, or maybe some of our listeners even need convincing themselves. Can you give us your elevator pitch of why someone should consider going vegan?
My elevator pitch, if I only have 30 seconds, would be that eating animal products is environmentally and therefore economically unsustainable, that it is absolutely unethical if you research how these animals are treated, and that nutritionally it's absolutely unnecessary. And of course, everyone has follow-up questions for that. But I'd be like, go to this website, go to the EPA.
And then the doors close of the elevator.
And they hate me.
But I guess, like, we know, like, we don't need meat to survive. Like, the meat is essentially, like, the middleman. We can just go straight to the plants. So, like, I think people would like to know maybe about, like, supplements. Like, you know, I think it's B12 is the only thing we can't produce ourselves, right?
Yeah, so B12 is a vitamin that we would go to often in a basic Western diet to dairy and to animal products. But with eating vegan, you do have to be careful, like with any diet, like with absolutely any diet, you have to make sure you're getting all your nutrients and vitamins. And to source it, we tend to synthesize it. So you will find it fortified in most plant milks, in any Alpro milk, for instance. But yeah, you do have to be careful that you're getting enough B12 and you're getting enough iron. Protein is an absolute myth. I've never met a vegan who is protein deficient before. But
actually, just out of interest, because I feel like that is an important thing for people. Where do you get your protein?
Where do you get your protein is the question that I get asked every single day. And my answer is that I used to say when I first went vegan and I heard it the first time, I was like, well, these are the sources. When I heard it about the 100th time, I started saying, I get it from your ma. But then... Then I matured a bit.
And take a breather. So, where do you get your protein?
I'm a Northsider. I'm rough and defensive. But nowadays, when people say, where do you get your protein? I say, I get my protein from food. From plant-based foods. Because there are so many...
Sorry, Katie's having a bit of a tumble over here.
Keep going. That's it. I just say I get my protein from food. Please look at the nutritional value of any plant food you pick up in the shop and try to find a plant food that doesn't have any protein in it. Protein is
everywhere.
Beans. Beans are great, aren't they? Sorry.
We have a fan over here. I guess another thing would be iron, maybe. Like, it's mostly deep greens, isn't it?
Yeah, we did, myself and the other Huns, we did a Nutritious November where for the entire month of November, we took nutrients that people were concerned about and just showed things that you already have in your kitchen that are full of those things. So we did a couple iron, I can't remember what we photographed, but it was a case of we just went to our cupboards and our cupboards are not... Well, maybe Kate's is, but me and Linda, our cupboards are not full of anything mad fancy. We don't have a bunch of vegan cheeses and supplements and B12 spray. No, we have things like...
I have a B12 spray.
I have nothing against a B12 spray, but I'm saying that some people think, oh, I must get this fancy thing and I must get this expensive thing and I must get this thing I've never had before. And I'm like, do you have porridge at home? Because porridge has so many nutrients already that you can get that. Or do you have broccoli at home? Broccoli's great.
And I guess another question we have is myself and Katie went to the Rediscovery Centre last year and we were learning about all the magical things that they're doing. But one of them was about their bees and they wanted to start keeping bees and that it takes 12 bees to make 1 teaspoon of honey. Like that, I mean, that shocked me really. Like where do you stand on should we be consuming honey, do you think? Because I think it's a good question.
There is... big, what I would say, misconception that the more honey, the more bees. And I hear that quite often when I say, I'm not going to eat that, it has honey in it, because I don't eat honey personally. When people say that more honey must mean more bees, and I'm buying this for the sake of the bees, I tell them that we are producing more honey today than we ever have before. Do you think there's more bees in the world today than there ever have been before? And it's just not the case, because sadly, there are a lot of unethical practices in the honey industry. Now, of course, there's people with back garden hives and they really care for them and they're doing something amazing. But that's not what you buy in the shop. You go into Dunn's and there's 10 different types of honey and they are not back garden hives trying to save the bee population. They are trying to get your €3 and that's all that matters.
So plant-based milks have been on the rise. Almond milk, I think, was the most popular one for a few years. And I think oat milk has now overtaken it. What is your favourite milk, Evelyn?
Oat milk.
It's so good.
I think it's great. I've started making it myself, which I love doing. because it's just, I buy only Irish zero waste oats, and it just feels really good to know exactly where it came from this spot and this county, and to make it into something that tastes great in my tea and great in my breakfast. But something I love about oat milk, even though the majority of it that you get in the shops is not from Ireland, potentially it could be from Ireland. And a big complaint is that plant-based milks must be imported and must be intensive farming, but with oats, potentially we could make it here, and that would be amazing. And I've once been contacted by a dairy farmer who wanted to start making the switch.
Stop.
Yeah, I don't know if he's doing it, but he's definitely interested, because these farmers, they do see the market and they want to get involved in that. Now, obviously, dairy is heavily subsidized, so he's kind of cornered to sticking with that. But he knows the future is switching to plant-based and lowering greenhouse gas emissions. So he wants to be growing that oat milk, and I cannot wait to buy it someday.
We need to get his number.
Yeah, that is a smart farmer, actually. This episode is basically part one of part two. So next week or two, we're going to interview a farmer all about this to kind of get the two sides. So we'll definitely bring that up with him.
Amazing.
So one of the big reasons why we're here and what we want to chat about is the environmental impact of our food and why it is good to think along the lines of kind of going more plant-based. So I have a few stats here, and I'm going to ask you about a few stats as well. So we were looking up a few reports, and according to a report published by the Inter-Academy Partnership, so the IAP, our global food system is responsible for 1/3 of greenhouse emissions, which is more than transport, heating, electricity and air conditioning combined. And research presented by a site called Our World in Data states that food production alone, which is insane, is responsible for 1/4 of the world's greenhouse gas emissions. And this is at a point where we're not even feeding the 9 to 10 billion people expected to be living on our planet by 2050. So it's all a bit mad and intimidating. But what is the kind of specific issue with eating animal products in relation to the environment? Can you give us some of the hard-hitting facts?
Okay, so I have my cheat sheet, and the hard-hitting facts are everything you said, except worse for Ireland. While globally it's about, agriculture is about 1/4 of the greenhouse gas emissions, in Ireland, I think the latest stat is that it's 34%. Mm-hmm. And to put that in perspective, transport is 19.5%. So when we talk about putting 1 million electric cars on the roads, we really need to address the huge elephant in the corner, which is beef and dairy. And something that a lot of people don't realize is that there's a huge middleman when you eat animal products. That, for instance, this year I've started growing my own fruit and veg, and that is intended that I grow fruit and veg and it is going to be eaten by humans. When you grow an animal product, they have to be fed by all the fruit and veg or all the crops that are being grown in more land, using more water, using more harmful chemicals, emitting more methane, emitting more nitrous oxide for less food as the end product. So we are using way more resources for much less food when we're eating animals.
Yeah.
What we need to do is we need to go straight to the source of the calories and the source of the protein, which is the plants that those animals are eating.
Yeah. Because I was watching Eco Eye the other day, and it's the girl who was presenting it said something like, if we used or consumed all of the grain that's being used or crops that's being used to feed livestock, and if we use that to feed humans, we could feed over 4 billion people. Like, that's amazing and kind of terrifying.
Tutting.
Yeah, when people criticize, very often this happens when people find a plant product that they've decided to criticize, which is absolutely fair. I think we should criticize everything in the entire world. But when you criticize things like soy, and you say soy is causing so much deforestation, it's using up so much land, 80% of soy is fed to livestock. So when you're pointing the finger, don't point the finger at tofu.
Leave tofu alone.
That's really fair.
Yeah, it is.
Because I think that is an argument that people then come back at vegetarians or vegans with. It's like, well, you eat soy. But that's, I didn't think of that. That's interesting. But you mentioned kind of Ireland and agriculture. And a report called the Lancet Medical Journal, if that rings a bell, was published last year with controversial research from 20 food scientists, and it stated that Western countries such as our fair Emerald Isle here may need to reduce our meat consumption by 90%. But I mean, obviously agriculture is a primary driver of our economy here in Ireland. Do you see a future where Irish people are primarily plant-based, where the meat and two veg is just done away with and we're eating all of the veg?
I see that as the only future, because it's either that or mass extinction. And that's just a very sad truth.
Nervous laughter.
So I definitely think there's a future. I don't know if it will be within my lifetime, but I think definitely by the end of the century, we are going to have a plant-based agriculture. Now, there's going to be some hard times in between. And of course, every vegan wants a just transition. Mm-hmm. Something that people are quite shocked by is when I say I support the beef plan movement, which is beef farmers coming out and saying that they are getting an unfair wage. That when you go and buy Irish beef, it's that if you spend €10 on Irish beef, €5 goes to the retailer, €3 goes to the processor, and €2 goes to the farmer who has put in the vast majority of the work. So in terms of supporting the workers, having a just transition for them and supporting the Irish economy, that's not what buying meat is doing. Mm-hmm. Buying meat is supporting a privileged few. 80% of the Irish beef industry is run by 8 families.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry, 8?
8 families. So people like Larry Goodman, the beef barons, if you will. Now, that's from an article that I read. I think it was the start of 2019. Mm-hmm. So it may have changed since. But wealth inequality is a huge problem in the meat and dairy industry. So that is something we want to tackle as well. I am not looking to end agriculture, because agriculture is where I get my food. It's where I get my beans and my potatoes. But I want to switch away from an unsustainable, unfair form of agriculture, which is the beef and dairy industry in Ireland today.
That was beautiful.
So an interesting point that a classmate of mine actually brought up. So I think, you know, travel miles of food is something that people always point to, especially they point the finger at vegans and people who are eating a plant-based diet. But I was reading a study published by two guys called Joseph Poor and Thomas Niemczyk, just going with that, in 2018. So in the study, the authors looked at data across more than 38,000 commercial farms in 119 countries. And from that, they were able to demonstrate that only 10% of emissions of food come from the transport. More than 80% of emissions come from land use and the farming stage of food, which I just thought was fascinating. And I think it really helps with that side of the debate. I feel like it's a point that people always labour on in relation to vegetables, that they've travelled so far. So then, do you know,
when people are calculating how much your dietary greenhouse gas emissions would be reduced if you switched from a basic Western omnivorous diet to a vegan diet, people usually say between 60 or 70% lower.
So we are looking for your top tips for anyone that is interested, maybe listening, who's like, you know, concerned about the environment and wants to make a shift. What are your like plant-based tips for, you know,
going vegan?
Well, you can follow loads of groups and you can follow loads of Instagrams and you can see lists of top 10 vegan pizzas in Ireland and everywhere and all that kind of stuff. But definitely my top tip is to know your reasons for why you're doing it, because when I go to the supermarket, there is a huge list of things I'm avoiding. I don't buy things in plastic. I don't buy palm oil. I don't buy meat and dairy. And I don't buy things from certain occupied territories. But when I'm reaching for something, when I'm reaching for either loose apples or apples in plastic, it's not a case of, oh, well, I heard this great tip that these apples taste great. It's because I've researched where the plastic is going, or I've researched how the cow is slaughtered, or I've researched how much palm oil is causing destruction of certain ecosystems. That's why I choose one thing over the other. Ultimately, it's because everyone has weak moments and everyone has certain tastes and everyone likes convenience and everyone likes delicious food. But once you know exactly why you're doing this and why you want to continue doing this, that's what's going to keep you going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'll extend from not just 1 month in Veganuary. It'll be like a continued lifestyle.
Okay, so quick fire round for you, Evelyn. And they're one word answers, okay? And they have nothing to do with veganism. No, I'm joking. What is your favorite vegan product?
Potatoes.
Great.
So Irish.
What is your, yeah, it is. What is your favorite plant-based or vegan meal to make?
Potatoes.
Oh, for, are you serious? Are they gonna all be
out? I've eaten like 2 kilos of potatoes at least today. I am obsessed with potatoes.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Favorite place to eat right now that has great vegan food?
Cornucopia is a solid.
Yeah, true.
Favorite app to find places to eat? Do you use anything like that?
Happy Cow, especially if you're traveling.
Oh, great.
And who would you recommend following for some vegan inspiration?
Aside from yourself.
Yeah. Aside from ourselves. Dublin Vegans Facebook group.
Oh, and I guess how can individuals get started to support the movement?
Be vocal and be angry.
Ooh.
I know this isn't meant to be an angry kind of message, but I like people getting
people,
angry.
If people are passionate, they're more likely to make change and shout about it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, look at the climate strikes. You know, people are angry.
Yeah, women didn't get the vote sitting down and making tea. We got angry.
And, okay, one question that we're going to be asking all of our guests for this season. What three things would you like to see in the next decade to create real change to the benefit of our environment and our beautiful planet?
I would like to see, number one, plant-based agriculture. Number two, I want free public transport for everyone. And number three, I want there to be legislation that gives animals the right to live.
Lovely. Love that.
Three very ambitious things.
Yes, but not impossible.
No.
So we're meeting with a farmer next month. Is there anything you would like us to ask him for you?
I would like to ask him if he sees a future of Irish agriculture without animal exploitation.
Love it.
We will ask that.
We will ask that for you. His name is John.
So yeah. Hi, John.
Yeah. Evelyn says hi, John. I hope you're listening. Thank you so much, Evelyn. Please check out the Veg Huns on Instagram at /VegHuns. And we hope that you learned something new. And if you have any more questions, please find us at Climate Queens Podcast online. And thanks this month to Megan for loaning us her Zoom. Woo, for helping us to record this episode. Yay!
Thanks, Megan.
And as always, to April, who will edit this lovely episode for your ears. And join us on the last Friday of next month for part two of this food-focused episode all on farming and soil health.
Woo!
Thanks, Evelyn.
Bye.